Welcome to the Elmwood School Podcast, Overheard at Elmwood, where we discuss and debate the latest trends and topics in education. Today's episode is The Early Years at Elmwood.
My name is Kate Meadowcroft, and I am the senior kindergarten teacher at Elmwood School in the early years. I teach students that are 5, turning 6 years old, and I've been teaching at Elmwood for 12 years.
Hello, I am Vanessa Shervin, and I am the junior kindergarten teacher at Elmwood School. I've been a teacher now for 19 years, and I'm passionate about the early years. My students are 4, and I actually get some little 3-year-olds in September, but they turn 4 by the end of December.
Hi, I'm Carol Hawley, and I'm the pre-K teacher at Elmwood. This is my second year at Elmwood, and I've been teaching for over 25 years, most of my career being overseas, but extremely happy to be at Elmwood.
So today's podcast, we'll be looking at the early years and what makes learning in the early years at Elmwood extraordinary for our girls. We have some very special learning that happens with our youngest children. They start the primary years program of the International Baccalaureate right from the very beginning when they come in pre-kindergarten. The International Baccalaureate program is an inquiry-based approach to learning. Carol, can you tell us a little bit about what inquiry looks like with your young students in pre-kindergarten?
Sure. So in the pre-kindergarten program, we really focus on play-based inquiry learning. And so a lot of it is based on the environment that is set up for the girls. So the materials and the resources that are set out really encourages the girls to explore and create based on their own interests.
It's interesting that you mentioned the word play. I have had parents ask me when they've been visited our school to tour our early years classroom for their daughter about what the IB, the International Baccalaureate, looks like in the early years. And parents seem to have an understanding of the IB as a very academically rigorous program. And so they're worried sometimes what that's going to look like for their young girls if they're going to have time to explore and play. And so one of the things I've been doing lately is talking to parents about how actually in the primary years program of the IB, the inquiry is play, that the primary vehicle for learning for our young students is play. Vanessa, what does play look like in the junior kindergarten classroom?
Well, that's one of the exciting things about school here is that it's so diverse and there's so many different ways the girls can explore the materials, but also their interests, their passions. And we set up an environment that allows for so many different opportunities, not only inside, but outside as well. I think that just like all people, children learn and explore our environments differently. And so here we can accommodate so many different ways of being and exploring just to make connections and to grow in their abilities to learn and develop.
I like when you talked about allowing space for the student choice and agency. I think that's one of the things that really differentiates our early years program. Because of our small class sizes, we are able to allow the children to make some choice over their inquiries. For instance, in senior kindergarten, we had some students just last week that were very interested in the notion of temperature and how it's measured and recorded. Because of our small class size, we were able to dedicate an entire section of our classroom to an inquiry into temperature. We had thermometers, we had ice cubes, we had warm water, we had books, and we had a teacher there to, you know, ask them questions and help them research answers to their questions.
Well, one of the exciting things about the IB program is we've actually just started the new IB enhancement program, and play is finally back into our vocabulary. I think knowing the value and importance of it, we often would disguise it with different words, but ultimately this is how children learn best. And in fact, all the research and the learning that I've done, all people learn best when they're having fun, when they're engaged, when they're interested, when they're relaxed and feel passionate about something. So when we can bring that to the girls, I think that that's when they learn the most and have the best opportunity to grasp all these early concepts and develop friendships and also figure out a little bit about themselves as well in the process.
And I truly believe that the skills that are being used during play, like, I think there is so much happening in terms of absolutely creativity, mm-hmm. Problem solving. Your numeracy and your literacy is mm-hmm. all tied in, and it's all happening during those exciting play moments for the children. We had a set of colored blocks in the classroom, and it was interesting to see how one of the girls took those colored blocks and made a birthday cake, and then another one took the blocks and used part of it as a steering wheel for the block car that they had made, and then another one took it and put two colored blocks together to create a song that she had learned in the classroom. And so the materials that are there are really encouraging the girls to just create and use a variety of skills.
Speaking of skills, I know a lot of parents are wondering what they can do to help prepare their daughters to make the transition to kindergarten fluid, smooth, and happy. I know for the girls coming into senior kindergarten, it's often helpful if they have some experience in a structured learning setting, whether that's junior kindergarten or a preschool of some sort. It helps a lot if they are used to being around other children, used to separating from their parents in the morning, and can be confident that mom and dad are coming back at the end of the day to pick them up. Independence is also a key for preparing your children for kindergarten. Asking them to walk into the school themselves carrying their backpack, helping them choose materials, clothing for school that they can put on their own, boots that they can put on independently, snowsuits that they can handle almost everything themselves, though they may need some help with a zipper sometimes. Vanessa, what do you suggest for helping girls prepare themselves for junior kindergarten?
I really understand how challenging it can be for parents who may be rushing out the door. However, when there is a bit of extra time, it really is beneficial to allow your children to get ready as much as they can independently. So setting them up for success before they come to school is also helpful for the staff, but also it's really great for the girls' self-esteem. They feel much more confident in their abilities and proud of their accomplishments.
And in pre-K, a big part of our program is self-management and independence. We have girls coming into a program sometimes for the first time. And so our program's a bit different because we have a family-style way of eating, so at lunchtime. So that gives the girls an opportunity to take their time. We're not rushed at all. We have plenty of time, just to be independent with their eating skills. And when they're done, cleaning up and moving to the next routine, which is bathrooming, dressing skills. So a lot of it is are really working on the independent skills, so when they continue to move on to the next grade, they've got some of those skills behind and they're ready to move forward with the next program.
I've definitely seen the ability that the girls have when they've completed the pre-K program here at Elmwood. What a difference it makes. They come to junior kindergarten. Most of them are much more independent in their ability to dress themselves, go to the bathroom. They understand some of the basic things about etiquette, school etiquette, lining up, sharing with peers, and then little details that I think parents may not think about are things like, if you do pack a lunch, we always are there to help the girls, but we expect them to at least try to open containers independently first. So some parents might not have even tried to see if their daughters could actually open these containers or latch a lunch box together, as well as dressing their mitts. That's a really challenging one. We help them put them over their jackets, but ideally we would like to see them attempting to put all these pieces together themselves. So just an awareness of these little details, I think, help a great deal.
And Vanessa, you had mentioned that you understand that it's sometimes leaving the house in the morning can be very busy for parents of young children. And I think we're finding over the years that, you know, parents are getting busier and busier as our children. Often I'm asked by parents what they can be doing at home to support their daughter's academic learning. And one of the things that I always try and reassure busy parents, as a busy parent myself, is that the best thing you can do to prepare your child for academics is to read to them. Have them on your lap, read daily, not just a bedtime story, but really encouraging that time together, a time to reconnect, and fostering in your child a love for books and reading and learning. A lot of parents will ask me about math worksheets or printing worksheets, and my answer is always, don't waste your time on that. Your daughter will learn those skills at school. She will acquire them here. If you only have 20 minutes together, spend that time curled up reading a really great book.
I say the same thing. I feel passionately about that. Also, keep in mind, when they are learning these math skills, they need to read the instructions. So I circle back to reading is always the homework assignment that I give to parents. Read, read, read.
Yep, I totally agree. And I think it fosters just an enjoyment for literature and reading. And, I mean, the books, you know, they cover so many different ideas, and I think it's just wonderful time. I think the other thing that's really important, too, is getting that good night's sleep, you know.
Critical.
I think that is so important when you come to school and you had a good night's sleep and you're fresh and you're ready to start the morning.
I couldn't agree more that a good night's sleep gives a child the ability to be resilient when they come to school the next day. Part of being in kindergarten is developing the skills to be with their peer group. If they haven't had a good night's sleep, they're going to be quite low on resilience, and their ability to deal with situations that crop up won't be there.
And, you know, really part of our big part of our pre-K program are, you know, looking at social skills and emotional skills of the girls coming in. The girls are young, and some of them are still, like, in terms of play, like, some of them are still independent play on their own. Some of them are very social and very cooperative, and so it's really the girls trying to, you know, sort through those different types of play situations. And the other thing is, in terms of their emotional development, the girls are still acquiring their language and need assistance from either their peers and from us as educators to help give them the words that they may be looking for to help them understand how they're feeling.
What's exciting about junior kindergarten is that this is kind of the bridge year between the very young little pre-Ks who are still developing their language, but they're also making big connections and having huge leaps in the social and emotional categories. So they're starting to develop friendships. They're really learning to start to collaborate and have very meaningful exchanges and interactions with each other. And this is really setting the great foundation before they go into SK. It gives us a little bit more time to really give them that solid foundation to set them up for success, both academically, socially, and emotionally. And I think that in the education system, we're really excited about all the academics that happens. But what a big focus for us in the early years is setting them up for all those soft skills that they need so desperately and giving them the really solid foundation that they can flourish and jump off of.
And then when they come to SK, we build on those skills that they've spent so much time, thanks to the loving care and attention of their teachers in pre-K and JK, developing. And we really start to analyze what it means to be social and what it means to be able to self-regulate your emotions. We use literature quite often, picture books, to spark conversations with the girls. What does it mean when we have these feelings? Are these feelings good? Are they bad? How do we manage them? How can we constructively manage our emotions, both at school and at home, so that the girls feel a sense of agency and that they can be independent in managing their emotional lives?
Speaking of agency, one of the great things about being an independent school is that we have flexibility over our schedule. And so one of the things we love to do is take advantage of beautiful weather. The outdoors is a perfect learning environment. And so we recognize that some parents are extremely busy and depend on us to make sure that their children have a very full, wonderful day. And so much of our learning takes place outside, and we depend on that for all the gross motor and fine motor skills that kids can be developing.
You know, I agree. I think we all believe that the outdoor environment is an important part of our program. We're outside morning, we're outside afternoon. And I think it's really a time for the girls to make a connection to their natural environment. I know that sometimes, you know, you're bringing what you've learned outside and you're bringing it into the classroom and vice versa. You know, something that's happening in the classroom extends to the outdoor learning. I think that, you know, it's really important that we view the outdoor environment is just an extension of our classrooms.
It is absolutely critical for our young learners to be outside and running and playing and jumping. We know that these opportunities to have these sort of play experiences are what develop our children's gross motor skills. These gross motor skills are absolutely critical in the development of their fine motor skills. There's a big connection there. Children need their fine motor skills so that someday, when they're ready, when it's developmentally appropriate, they can pick up a pencil with strength and learn to write their name, learn to write the names of their friends. We also know that with the rise of the use of technology and tablets and screens, even for young children, that there has been a rise in myopia, in vision, and more children needing glasses to correct their vision at a young age. Part of that is that often children aren't outside playing enough, and so their eyes never have the opportunity to focus on an object at a distance from them. Being outside is just a wonderful time for young children and very critical to their development, and will set them up for future success in all their learning at Elmwood.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this conversation on the Early Years program at Elmwood, laying a foundation for lifelong learning and how to best prepare for your daughter for starting school.
For more information about Elmwood, to comment on today's discussion or suggest a future topic, visit elmwood.ca. Intro and outro music by Rod Smith.